For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
913-586-7965. Cody in Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon. Top text on the text line, Drew. You just started laughing. Did you see it?
Hi, I got Drew doing Blue Chew commercials. He's like 17.
He's 10 years older than that.
12, Drew's technically, but yes.
I was trying to give you. I was trying to be generous.
Thank you, Cody, because every single day it seems like I'm reminded I'm almost 30.
Hey, you're the youngest person on the show. Nobody's going to feel bad for you.
I know.
Almost 30. I'm already 40. I just don't really care that much. Whatever. It's like, honestly. I didn't make a big deal about my, what's that?
I'm saying if you need any help.
Oh, Blue Chew?
Blue Chew. Chew it.
Oh, thanks.
It, Cody.
Appreciate it. Currently, I'm good, but you know.
Currently.
Can't, you know,
that's
hey,
good,
you can't
that's
speak.
Good to know.
Do you know how many, I mean, you know what percentage of men eventually but suffer
said,
from erectile seen, dysfunction?
Yeah, say currently.
Correct.
You know? So, I can't predict the future.
Yeah.
You know? It's hard to say. By the way, if you're heading on the Cody and Gold road trip, just want to keep reminding.
So linked. Yeah. Way to tie those together.
I just felt like an easier transition than getting into a
topic. Drew will be handing out samples.
I want to remind you, that'd be hilarious. I want to remind you of the two most important things about the road trip. One, you can find the tickets 96.5 The Fan. They're $10 a piece. You can select your section. We're all sitting in a similar area of the stadium for Saturday, May 3rd to watch Cags play some baseball down there in Springfield. And if you want the shirt we will have there, you have to text us, 913-586-7965. We can send you the link to the shirt order form. And we're going to hand those out day of game only down at Harbell's at 3:30. It's a bar and grill right near the stadium. We'll hand them out all there while we're down there in Springfield. If you put your order in, you got until Wednesday to get the sizing and all that stuff correct so we can get you taken care of. We'll take them all down to Springfield with us and hand them out down there. They're available for $10 as well. If you've already ordered your tickets, 913-586-7965. I'll send you the link. If you're looking to order your tickets here soon and you want that link as well, just let us know.
Yep, that's simple. Make it easy for you. We'll get to another mock draft at some point this hour, but we all know over the weekend the Royals made a move on Saturday. MJ Melendez optioned to AAA Omaha as Mark Canha was eligible to come off the IL. That was the move they decided to make. They had some other options, right? They could have just sent Drew Waters down. They could have sent Tyler Tolbert down. They could have done some other things. But MJ Melendez was batting .084 before he got sent down and as he got sent down. And
it's pretty low.
I think they were more than patient, obviously, with him to try to get this thing corrected. Wasn't the case. And now the question is, do you think MJ Melendez gets back up with this team and what's the future hold for him? We can play some of the audio from JJ Piccolo, and he mentioned just overall what went into this decision.
There's never a right day or right time. It's just you get a feel for what's going on with the team and how a player's performing. But it was something we've been discussing for the last week or so, knowing that Mark was going to be back. And, unfortunately, somebody's going to be left out. In this case, it was MJ, and just want to see him go back to the minor leagues and continue the work that he's doing.
What hasn't happened make the story time for him beyond the move that was needed?
Yeah, well, first I'd just say I give him a lot of credit because he spent the whole offseason working on something that we believe he's on the right path. Made a couple other adjustments while we were in New York and saw it pay off a little bit, but you know, that is, changes like that need to take a little bit, it will take a little bit of time. And sometimes the setting is just best at the not at this level, maybe in AAA, where he can relax a little bit and reset and continue working on the things he's trying to do.
That audio from Joel Goldberg on Saturday in Detroit. So a couple things with the move. Everybody's been thinking this was going to happen at some point, whether they thought it was going to be a week ago, whether it was going to be 2 weeks from now. It was trending in that direction for a while. And you heard J.J. Piccolo, who's going to join us tomorrow, acknowledge that for the last week or so, they've been really looking at potential options once Mark Canna was coming back from the IL. Does he get back up with a big league club this year? Does he end up being a starter for this organization? Again, he's 26 years old. A lot of people will point to, if you're looking at the optimistic side for sure, what happened to Mike Moustakas, who had 300-400 at-bats in the big leagues in between minor league stints, right? Minors got called up, had X amount of at-bats, got sent down, wasn't performing, got called up very quickly due to an injury, and the rest is history. And by the way, this Saturday is Mike Moustakas bobblehead night, I believe, out at Kauffman Stadium. So is that in play here? I mean, time will tell. I'll tell you this. I don't think this is a 1 or 2 week thing. This feels like if you're sending him down because you acknowledge the switches that he made at the plate in the offseason that haven't panned out yet, that he's still trying to work on all that, obviously.
How are you going
to
convince him to do it now that he's in the minors?
Got to convince him to do it. So you got to have the buy-in. Big, you know, hit to the ego, I'm sure, right? And then you also have to have the results to get called back up. And how is the big league club performing at the time? There's a lot of factors. This doesn't sound like something that's going to be, oh, he's Cody, he's back up in 2.5 weeks. This could, if he gets called back up this year, this could be a month or two, depending on how it's going, right? I mean, the results simply have to be there. You set him down because the results were not there. He has to have results in AAA, and they have to be quality at bats, and you got to get the confidence back up. That's stuff that's not happening overnight.
And still, somebody has to be not performing at the big league level. Like, I don't know how people are going to feel if all of a sudden it's MJ Melendez comes back up because they DFA'd Hunter Renfro. Doesn't it feel like you've just created a wash? Look, I don't want to say he has no chance to succeed. That's crazy. We have watched this a number of times. We watched Mike Moustakas, Alex Gordon, Yordano Ventura was down for, I don't know, like all the 15 seconds, I think, before he got the return trip back because of this. They have sent guys down and they have come back up and they have been successful members of the team. Hell, they've been starters. They've been World Series winners. So I'm not saying, but like the MJ thing, like somebody asked me like about before the show, maybe Dusty was asking about Vinny. The time frames are a little bit different. When they brought those guys back up, they were still trying to find a way to compete. They sent them down at a time when they weren't already competing in some ways, Gold, or they hadn't like won anything yet. They hadn't gone to a playoff series, right? In this case, the Royals are established. They're trying to maintain the status they acquired last year, which makes it feel very different. He's also had 3 full years as a full-time starter in the bigs and is now getting sent down. I hope it's not. I really hope it's not for his sake and for the Royals' sake and for the same thing we mentioned last week, which is I'm rooting for all of them to succeed. It's way better as a fan, for the player, for the person, a million things. I want MJ to go down and hit 600 in the minors and then come up and hit 300 here. I fear this is a death sentence, that this is it for his time with the Royals, because to be a full-time starter that long, go back, you made all these changes. How can you think that those are for good? How can you think those changes worked? I mean, I couldn't. It got me sent down to the minors. At least I was playing big league baseball. I wasn't a perfect player, but if he was hitting like the previous 3 years, he wouldn't even be in the minors.
Correct.
Right? He'd still be a big league player.
It got
player
to a point where they had no choice.
Yeah.
You know, I think JJ mentioned in more of the audio, we didn't play all of it, but, you know, also magnified by the fact that nobody's been hitting on top of it. Like, not that 0.084 would be acceptable any time, even on a team that was first place. But it's magnified, right? When you have the second worst offense in baseball, the chance just to even ride out even longer is less likely to do on a team that's struggling the way they were offensively. And that also didn't help the cause. His future, his career, obviously, everything's on the table, right? Literally every single possibility that he gets back up and figures it out, that he's eventually part of a trade down the road and some other team thinks that, you know, based off his athletic ability and all
like
that,
what he did in previous years,
you know, there's that. There's also the complete flame out part. Like, everything's on the table. I don't know what, for his sake, I obviously hope he gets everything figured out. And that's probably a very, very tough pill to swallow over the weekend to get sent down. But I think JJ Piccolo mentioned in the interview too, that he had there with the media in Detroit, that he handled it like a pro. He probably wasn't all that surprised, you know, that
you
this
have to kind of know that's coming.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sad part. At some point, you know, like, at some point you can sense this coming your same way and you're like, ugh, this sucks. And I don't want it to come to that. But at some point, you know, like I know, Gold, that like, yeah, eventually it's coming for you. If you don't perform at that level or stay performing at that level, eventually they're going to find a way. And so you hope for his sake that he just goes down there and he figures out against lower level pitching, the hitting changes he made and how to make those function. Because the truth is, his time was limited in the big leagues if he was just going to stay the same player. If he wanted to be a 10-year big leaguer, he was going to have to grow and improve and be better. It's just hard for him because it's like, I know I can make a major league check and be a big league ball player. Maybe not like a perfect one, but like I can do that playing the old way. Oh, man, it's tough. The next move, we can talk about that later in the show, because if the offense keeps hitting like this, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, what if it's another week or so of the offense still being, you know, essentially the second worst offense?
You got to change the lineup order probably next.
You know, there's only so many personnel changes you can make with the big league roster. Like, despite everybody may not be hitting, like, you're not optioning and DFAing six players. That's just not how this whole thing works. You know, there's another
player. My guess is hitting coach would be the next body.
That's who would
be. I could be wrong, but like my guess is like that'd be the loudest next voice.
Alex Zumwalt will be heavily in the crosshairs if another week or two goes by where the offense is like that. Fair or not, that's just the reality of how this thing works. You know, I saw some people referencing, you know, the Rockies got rid of their hitting coach. I don't think they're apples to apples because the Rockies also did not have the success
last year,
et cetera. So I don't think just because they were willing to do it so early in the season means the Royals should be willing to do it so early in the season. But he will be a name that is discussed more and more if things don't turn around. I mean, that's the nature of the business.
You know? Because like it's, as you pointed out, they were never going to just like DFA Hunter Renfroe and send MJ down on the same day.
Yeah, they're starting left fielder and opening day right fielder as well. We're not both getting taken, you know, out of the organization at the big league level at the same time. That's just not how they were going to operate a month into the season.
And to be honest, going into the year, I wasn't planning on Mark Canha being an everyday player for this team. Yeah. There's something about, we have to admit though, right? You said like next changes.
Mm-hmm.
Moving him up in the order is the easiest next change and impacts no one except for you're pushing maybe Salvi and Vinny slightly down the order, or maybe just one of those guys, or maybe you're just pushing more Massey and the other guys down in the order. They last year needed this too after Vinny got hurt. They just need like professional at bats somewhere after Salvi. Like you have to feel like you need to pitch to Salvi in order to like make the rest of it go. Like, they've got a more professional approach at the top with Jonathan Eddie, who is also off to a slow start. I'm not pretending like he's a perfect player either, but he does walk a lot more than the other guys, and I think he'll come around as well. But, like, it does seem like they're helped when they just get, like, this old salty vet in the order giving good quality at-bats. Canha kind of feels like that guy. I'd probably move him up in the order for a little while. I wouldn't go as crazy as the text line earlier who suggested let Massey hit third, move Vinny to seventh, or not Massey, it was Mikel.
Oh.
Hit Mikel third, move Vinny to seventh until he's hitting above 250. I'm like, his career average might not even be 250. The league average is like 240. They're just not a winning team unless Vinny hits the way he's supposed to hit. Like, you and I agree on at least that one sense.
They're not a
winning
team.
You're not
going to
solve your problems by hoping worse players become better and their better players go further down the lineup.
No, this season's if this season ends up being a failure, it's because Salvi doesn't get going. It's because Vinny doesn't get going. It's because
Jonathan Indy
doesn't get going. You know, to a lesser extent, it's because Michael Massey doesn't get going. But mainly, it's India, your leadoff hitter, with an average batting average, I think, at 200 right now. And his on base percentage is a little bit higher than that, but still. I think he still might be third on the team in on base percentage. Honestly, just that's how bad it's been for everybody else. But you know, your leadoff guy has not been the guy to this point when it comes to getting on base that you thought. And then Vinny, not even close right now to what he has been. And he'll be the first one to tell you that. I mean,
he's been really honest in interviews about it.
Yeah. So that's the only way. Like if this week, upcoming week, starting tomorrow against the Rockies, is to go better, as in a winning homestand. The only way that's happening is if the guys we just mentioned start hitting more consistently. It really is that simple at this point, because the pitching is giving you a chance to win every single game. Every single game, whether it's the front end with the rotation or obviously the back end with Urseg, assuming he comes back from what could have been a really bad situation.
And Estevez.
And then Estevez has been as good as anybody. Honestly, he's been as good as a reliever in baseball so far this season.
Yeah. I mean, he's got five saves and a sub-1 ERA. You're not really going to...
Mm-hmm. What could you do some more?
You can't ask the pitching to do more. Honestly, you should be asking them to do less. You're already overextended the ask. The Royals, that was the first time they had scored four runs in a game in like 2 weeks. They've only scored above four runs twice. One was in the third game of the season against the Milwaukee Brewers, and one was like April 4th, I think is what I looked up, so almost 3 weeks ago. And that's the problem. It's just, it's everybody.
A lot of people say
it's
they
not
need...
that. It's everybody. It's that the entire offense is cold at once. Normally, you can hide one guy. We wouldn't even be talking about it if one guy was cold and they were still winning baseball games. The problem is that it's together. Yeah. It's everyone but Bobby.
Of course.
And Michael.
No, someone said the thing to turn around the offense is Drew making his way out to the K. He hasn't been there yet this year. They think you're the solution.
Have you been? You've been to the K.
No,
you've
been to not Kaufman this year. Stadium. Yeah, I've been there this year yet. You get there this year. They think you can turn around. You can show up tomorrow night. Offense clicks. It's you get all. It's all
gorgeous tomorrow.
It's
all you out there.
I'm thinking about going tomorrow night.
It is supposed to be a really nice day.
Is there a giveaway?
Wednesday. If Wednesday theme ticket is Irish Heritage special bobblehead. You gotta have a theme ticket on Wednesday. Tomorrow night.
What's the bobblehead? Is it like Slugger?
And he's just in green, kind of.
Okay.
Tomorrow's a Trapper hat giveaway.
Right up your alley. Right up your alley.
People like hats.
That's right up your alley, man.
You're not,
the weather is going to be gorgeous.
I've never seen Drew wear a Trapper hat. Like, that's the kind, you know, like Jason Kelce was wearing on Sunday Night Football,
say,
right?
You mean like a bucket hat?
No. Like the one with like the fuzzy earmuffs, dude. That's a Trapper hat.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's,
I think, right?
Trapper
hat, yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's got the fur, kind of like the fur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like Elmer Fudd. Does that help?
No.
With the
so
long,
I'm
like
hunting wabbits.
That kind of hat. Yeah,
hunting wabbits. Okay,
they're called Trapper hats because they were worn by
trappers.
That makes sense.
See, Drew,
they need their ears
all works
to stay warm.
You learn something new every day, don't you?
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Just another quick plea here: if you work for the Royals and handle the hot dog derby, I would like to race on Sunday.
Do not allow them.
I'll be out there for UMKC Day. I don't know why you wouldn't want to rue.
He's old
to
for
be
four.
A part. To be a part of the race. I don't know why you wouldn't want to rue. My time to finally win the race could be this Sunday. I'm going to bully my way.
They should make you race against one of your students.
I'll race every homestand if they want. Oh, student.
Race
one
of your students. Especially the one that's a basketball player. Has he shown up in class?
He was gone this previous class.
Mm-hmm.
He did say, I'll see you Monday, though. You know, he recently told me, I'll see you Monday.
And hop in that portal. Get away from your class.
Why would that have to do with my class? That had nothing to do with my, you know, that would be basketball related, I assume.
Get in that portal. He's done with your class. Yeah. Your class is driving away from UMKC.
I hope not. He's too tall. Basketball player. You can only be like 6'4" or 6'3". They got like a height limit for those things. You can't be, you know. Can't play power forward.
Sounds
for
like
a
lot of. Sounds like a lot of excuses. A lot of excuses for this.
Not excuses. I said I'll race. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if they can put a. They can whoever. I don't back down from the race, even if I know I'm going to lose.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I'll race every homestand if they let me.
Uh-huh.
I'll race no, every single homestand until I win.
That would be like the touring circus. If
that's
can,
right.
Can
that's right.
Cody Tapp finally win? That's what it
it's like
be.
The opposite of racing the freeze.
That's yeah, right.
Yeah. At the Atlanta just, Braves games.
It becomes really sad and depressing very quickly.
It's not can you beat Cody Tapp? It's can Cody Tapp beat you? That is the bit.
One of those times I would just, let's admit, one of those times I'd accidentally at least trip somebody, wouldn't I?
It's going to be senior citizen night, someone says at the Jeez. K, and you're going to lose to some 80-year-old hot dog
me.
Derby.
Just some 80-year-old, he's like, I fought in two wars, and just like outruns me in a hurry. You're like, damn, well, you're a badass. It is what it is.
We got to one earlier. You guys want to get to a new market?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, it is draft week.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to do multiple mock drafts in a day, draft week feels like the time. So, yes.
All right, we're going to go to Chad Ryder of NFL.com.
He's on tonight with Bink, right?
Yes, he will be on with Bink and Chris this evening right here on 96.5 The Fan starting at 6 p.m.
All right, so this is a 7-rounder as well from Chad Ryder.
That's a lot of picks, man.
This is interesting.
Ooh, I think I'd get bored. I'd just start copping someone else's by the time I got to the end of it. I'm not doing 7
Says the professor.
I don't make him write papers.
Go ahead, Drew.
It's got to turn in podcast, man.
So he has a trade that the Chiefs make with the Baltimore Ravens.
At 31?
Yes. Oh, okay. Essentially, what this trade is they swap first and second round picks, and then they give up 95. So the Chiefs all of a sudden would have 27 in the first round rather than 31, okay. 59 instead of 60.
It's not terrible.
Three. So at 27, you might say, well, who do they trade up for? Arianti Ursary, offensive tackle from Minnesota.
Is Ursary going in the first?
He's right around that fringe. Like, he's that fringe of depends late on the, first, early second.
Damn, they got to trade up for Ursary now? Oof.
So,
all right. So, I mean, I don't love having to trade up for him, but if they, you know, if they view him as the long-term answer, okay.
So they trade up to 27 to get him, and then, as I said, they trade or they swap picks again in the second round, which means they have 59. They take Landon Jackson out of Arkansas, edge rusher. We've had him mocked before to the Chiefs. A lot of people like his motor. That was the big thing, high motor for the edge guy.
If the Chiefs trade up and it's for a tackle and it's not Josh Simmons, then clearly what it means is, despite all the talk about defensive line, which they can still draft in the second round, that they were dead set, no matter what, they were drafting an offensive lineman. They're fine with having a developmental year. They want to go into 2026 with an option of Wanye Morris as a right tackle, Jalen Moore as a left or right tackle. In this case, Ursary, left tackle or right tackle. Like, they want to have three options at tackle in 2026. That's what that would mean if they draft tackle in the first round, whether it's Simmons, and certainly even if it's the local product.
So by this point, Simmons is gone in the mock draft. Kelvin Banks is gone in this mock draft. One that name that's not Josh Connerly Jr., he doesn't have going until 38 to the Patriots in the second round. So do you like Ursary more, or do you like Connerly more? I don't know if that's up for debate in terms of the decision making. But anyways, again, at 59, Landon Jackson, edge rusher out of Arkansas. In round three, again, they only get the pick 66 because they traded 95 to Baltimore in this mock. Darius Alexander, another name that we've seen come up. Chad Ryder's got them taking the defensive tackle out of Toledo with pick 66. So
the running back's going to be later then, I guess, huh?
Running backers are they're going to be later. Again, no trades regarding any further rounds, but 133 is the next pick that they have. This is a new name, running back Jarquez Hunter out of Auburn.
What? Okay.
5'9", 204. His RAS score was 21st out of all running backs.
That's a new name, though.
4.40.
21st out of all running backs this year or all time? Like last 15 years?
Oh, no, it is in 2020. His combine rank was 21st out of all the running backs in this draft.
That feels like the opposite of what I wanted.
4.44, 40.
So fast.
First team all SEC. Round projection, round 5 through 6, according to Lance Zierlein.
So it's a little bit of a reach.
Known for his character and work ethic.
Hey.
Squat rack warrior. Mm. Immense power in his lower half.
An
AFC scout said, quote, really authentic guy, spends a lot of time on football. Impossible not to love his toughness and contact production.
So this guy just Bink
just
should be
a good
fan
dude,
of this guy.
I guess. Just a good dude, huh?
Bink should be a fan of this guy then, because he just loves football, is what it is. Like, he's a football guy. Interesting. Some running backs to go after him. Breshard Smith, running back out of SMU. A name that I think is one to watch maybe in the later rounds if they don't take one, like around 4 or 5, because of what Brett Veach said about the returners, Jordan James out of Oregon. He's a guy that was really good in the return game, replaced Bucky Irving, essentially, when he left Oregon. Maybe that's a name to watch. I feel like the return thing is really not necessarily a tell. Like, if they don't take Amarian Hampton, or they don't go early, if they think 3rd to 5th round is the window, Tootin and Jordan James have punt return and kick return experience. By the sounds of what Brett Veach said, guys, it makes it seem like they're going to go
fit
in that range.
Jordan James comp is Damian Pierce, round 4 projection. That's what they mentioned for him overall. But he athletically was 22nd, so he's actually one spot worse than
Hunter.
So just looking for the worst athletes at running back in the draft?
Well, worst, but there it is, you know.
In regards to the 7th round as well, just to finish things up, Caleb Rogers, the guard, a guard out of Texas Tech, they have taken at 226. Further on down with the final two picks that the Chiefs would have in this is they take Joaquin Davis, NC Central, HBCU, shout out, wide receiver. And then with Mr. Irrelevant, Eugene Asante, linebacker out of Auburn.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Two Auburn Tigers in this mock draft.
Gets to go to somewhere in California, we learned.
What did Bing say, San Diego?
No, it wasn't San Diego. It was, where was it?
No?
I don't know. I think it wasn't, I don't remember now.
Mr. Irrelevant, Newport Beach.
Newport Beach. I was looking at the rest of this draft because I am most curious, because this is how it shakes down to the Chiefs. They have Jenty going 4th in this one. They have Sanders going to the Raiders at 6.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Geno.
I mean, they only have a couple of years at Geno. It's so not Shador's like they got like a long-term answer.
So Shador's going to sit at least a year behind
that might be
Geno
the,
Smith.
That might be the sneaky team, other than the Saints, that, or other than mm-hmm. the ones that we mentioned. And we talked about it earlier. The Raiders, maybe.
Yeah Pete Carroll. Did you guys see on Friday or Saturday press conference with him and Spytek and their GM? And like they were joking.
I know that sounds like something that Bill Belichick was involved in.
Yeah. Spytek's the last name. Of course, Brady liked him. When you look at the press conference they had, the reporter asked about Ginty, and Pete Carroll leans in. He's like, into his GM on purpose, make sure all the cameras and microphones caught it. And he's like, be careful now. Like they're making it so obvious that they won Ginty. That makes me wonder, is what Drew's saying with this pick, where it's like, no, they actually don't like Ginty at all, or they like him, but they're not going to take him, and it's a surprise. But it's weird. With where they're picking, unless you think the Patriots or Jags are taking Ginty, there's nobody the Raiders should be worried about drafting Ginty before they would have a chance, right?
Yeah, I would assume
I think so.
Unless maybe
I'm assuming there are like three or four teams that want Ginty.
Would he go to the Panthers? I don't know if the Panthers would even. I don't even know if they have a lot of needs.
If you're sticking
I'm sure,
with Bryce, but if you're, I'm no offense, same thing. If you're sticking with Bryce Young, why not give him maximum talent? Why not make his life as easy as humanly possible? At least, at least Ginty does that. He takes all the heat, not all, but he takes a huge chunk of the heat off of him. Like if I'm sticking with, like I could still make the argument. You should just move on from Bryce Young. Wait, you got 8 games, and he was the number one overall.
Move
pick.
On from him,
like
move on for who?
Well, they'd have to draft somebody.
But for who? Well, I think they're all in on Bryce Young now. He actually showed something. And in this year's draft class, like it's not like Arch Manning's in this draft. Move on from Bryce Young for Shador Sanders or for Jackson Dart? No.
I'm not saying I do it. Yeah. I don't know why you couldn't make the argument. Okay. The guy had 15 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in 12 games in last year. I better do to hold on to Bryce Young as much. He definitely showed more than he did in year one. Not arguing that for sure. But it's like there's still like massive, massive question marks.
Well, yeah, nobody's saying he's Jaden Daniels now, where it's just case closed. Like we know, and CJ Stroud. No, nobody's saying that. But like he's not the answer kind of thing. I think we've seen enough to know that like he's going to be their quarterback for a while. To what extent does he get to? We'll find out. But anyway, coming up next, let's get to what's trending right here on Cody and Gold.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. An off day for the Royals today. They had played 17 straight games. They're coming off a road trip in which they were just 2-8. They salvaged the final game of their series against the Tigers yesterday. Much, much needed to snap the 6-game losing streak. They're back at it tomorrow out at Kauffman Stadium when the Colorado Rockies come to town. And the Rockies are worse offensively than the Royals.
The only team worse offensively than the Royals at the moment. Ideally, things will start heading in a good direction for the Royals starting tomorrow night. Great timing. Get to Targ Skubal, get back to home base, get a day off, right? Go kick it for a little bit, have dinner with the missus, whatever you need to do. Just relax a little bit. Next up on What's Trending, the NBA playoffs underway officially out of the play-in tournament and into the actual field. Stink! Over the weekend. They were bad.
Yes.
The Warriors crushed the Rockets. Cavs are up 1-0 in the Heat. That game wasn't close. Thunder won by 50 over the Grizzlies. Probably the most surprising not close game was how easily the Timberwolves handled the Lakers. Luka Doncic scored 40 points, and it did not matter, to be clear. That game still was not close. So a rough start to the NBA playoffs. Hopefully those games will get closer a little bit later on. But yeah, the start to a miserable. Not a single close game, honestly.
Yeah,
elsewhere. Step shot was the most recognizable thing of the entire week.
The Nuggets, Clippers, Christian Brown. Brown with a huge shot in overtime. That was obviously the best game of the weekend. It's not even close. The rest, not competitive so far. Very early. Remember, the playoffs for the NBA go on for 2 months, so 2.5 months.
We've got
plenty of chance for some great games. Elsewhere, the Eagles and their center Cam Jurgens reached an agreement today on a 4-year, $68 million extension. That includes $39.4 million guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. That keeps them in Philly through the 2029 season. So they go from a future Hall of Famer in Jason Kelce to Cam Jurgens. Not bad. Not bad at the center position. We know how crucial that is for what they try to run, especially if the tush push is still a thing by the time the NFL season starts.
Not quite as impressive as, going from quarterback to quarterback, but still pretty impressive overall. Next up on What's Trending, Sporting Kansas City and the KC Current both got wins over the weekend. The Current are the only undefeated team left in the NWSL after the Orlando Pride went down 1-0 in their match. Temo with no goals for two straight games. That might be the first time ever as a member of the KC Current, but they still won. Didn't matter. They're off to a 5-0 start this season. They're off to a, yeah, just simply put, and obviously Sporting hadn't won in like a year, so anytime they get a win, it feels nice.
A couple wins here recently for Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, overall, pretty good.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. And yeah, don't forget, Cody and Gold road trip, less than 2 weeks away, a week from this Saturday, all right? A week from this Saturday.
Like 115 people, probably? I saw some more people sign up today.
Yeah, I'll get an updated count. I think we're around 110 listeners scheduled to join us in Springfield to watch CAGS for our Cody and Gold road trip. When we head down to Springfield as the Northwest Arkansas Naturals take on the Springfield Cardinals, that's the Cardinals AA affiliate. If you want to go out to Springfield and join us, sit in the same sections, if you go to our website, 965thefan.com, you'll see on the homepage the Cody and Gold Road Trip logo. You click there. We got a special $10 ticket deal, and make sure you get the seats right by everybody else that's going down there. Make sure you do that first. And then if you want one of those CAGS t-shirts and you're going on the road trip, one, you got to come by Harbell's Bar and Grill to pick one up before the game. We'll be there starting at 3:30 in the afternoon on that Saturday. But also, just text in to 913-586-7965 or go on Twitter and DM Cody at CodyBTap or at Alex Gold, myself. And we'll make sure we get you the ticket order for, or the t-shirt order form. I'm sorry, the t-shirt order form. And you have to have that order in by Wednesday. That's when we'll put in the orders. So you want to make sure you get that taken care of. So that way everybody's rocking the same CAG shirt.
For pickup in in Springfield. And look, yeah, we'd like you to wear it because someone's throwing out the first pitch in this group. We want you representing the group. We don't know who yet, but they told us we can get somebody out of the group. We're going to try to select it randomly and give someone an opportunity. Somebody in the listener group will throw it out. Yep. Not me, Alex, or Drew. Yeah,
Drew tried to take bribes. I said, no, Drew, we cannot do that. Drew wanted to do bribes for this.
I said,
we cannot take bribes for whoever's throwing out the first pitch. It's completely random. So we made sure we kept it pretty fair. I'm sure somebody would. But we're making it fair. We're making it very fair.
It's going to be a good time. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll see you out there. If you need any more information, again, just hit us up. We'll make sure to get you any of that information. One guy you'd mentioned earlier, and this is the part, this is where I have a hard time being too negative, I'll say, on where the Royals are. Because fundamentally, the thing that is going to make it easiest for them to win, Gold, is the idea that they can pitch. And one guy you'd pointed out earlier, which obviously stands out in this, is Carlos Estevez. Because Urseg is doing his job. Lynch has been doing his job. Before he got hurt, Hunter Harvey was doing his. But Carlos is pitching like one of, if not, you know, he's pitching like a top three closer in baseball right now. I understand that it came with some wild moments earlier on, but he appears to be picking up steam as this thing chugs around a little bit. He's closing out almost every opportunity he's given, and he hasn't had that many over the last week. But last night, when they needed him, I mean, they were up one run. They got their run home from second. They needed him to strand a guy at second that he didn't even put on there, and he was able to get the save for this team. He has been an excellent so far free agent signing, and the back end of the bullpen coupled with the starting rotation is what makes me think that the record will start reflecting closer to what I think their pitching is doing.
They have a legit closer. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. Like, they went out and paid some good money to make sure they had that, and he's lived up to it. And I still think he wasn't 100% right in spring training, didn't get the full workload because of it, and now you're starting to see him get in a groove. And when you have 9 wins on the year and he's responsible for 1 win and 5 saves, that's think about the impact he's had on the first 9 wins on the season. I mean, that's big time. So
the fact that he's saved half of them, sure.
Yeah, that's big time. And, you know, he's just a vet that has been in every situation possible in the big leagues, right? Like, nothing is going to rattle him. I think it's very clear, whether it's extra innings where a runner's obviously already on second base and you walk a guy and then you feel like, oh boy, here we go. He's calm, right? His demeanor's calm. Also, he's becoming a bit of a fan favorite, not just because of his
celebration
performance, but because of the celebration and what he's got going on. Everybody's starting to learn more about Dragon Ball Z because of it. And
have you been studying up on your Dragon Ball Z?
I mean, I know that one particular move, I guess you would say, but and it's definitely, I always laugh when Rex Hudler at the end of every game does it. Carlos Estevez is the most sure thing as a closer they've had since somebody like Ian Kennedy. And I know you're like, Ian Kennedy, remember when Ian Kennedy converted from a starting pitcher, then became a closer, and he was really, really effective for this team. Right? He was disappointing as a starter, making all the money, went to the bullpen, and he was really, really good as a closer. This is the first time they've had someone like that. I know you'll say, well, what about Lucas Urseg?
It's so crazy to remember
Lucas Urseg.
He was a really good closer that one year.
But Lucas Urseg is not the closer for this team. He is exceptional at putting out fires. He's someone that if you are in the most high leverage spot in the seventh or eighth inning, it's going to be him. But Carlos Estevez is a closer for the 2025 Royals. And that is, if he stays healthy, that's who will be the closer throughout this entire season.
Yeah, I think so. And that, honestly, it's a weird mix because you and I have talked about this. A lot of teams don't do that. They don't necessarily just do like person for person, like across the board. Yeah, we're good. Whatever it is, gold. And they're just like, it's one closer. They kind of bounce it around. But because they have Urseg, they don't have to use their closer just in leverage. Their closer can close. And the leverage guy can be Urseg. He can just pitch wherever. He can pitch in the highest moment. He can pitch against 2-3-4 in the seventh or 3-4-5 in the eighth or in the sixth inning if the bases are loaded and they want him to go four outs. They can do all of those things and cover their end. So it makes a lot of sense that that's available to them, and it's kind of a perfect fit. I've been really impressed. Like, I get, and Canna, I think, had been a good trade so far.
Pro
like
ABs, yeah.
Renfro's one of the worst free agent signings JJ's made, but that's in a short list of bad free agent signings. We have to admit that one of his strengths at this point, right? The trades is one. I mean, that's just like that's a no-doubter. The trades have generally really gone their way. But the free agent signings, he hasn't just, like, lit money on fire and then walked away. Renfro's probably the closest to that so far, right? And outside of that, where have the issues been? This is yet another hit.
Yeah, no doubt.
They could have signed Profar or Santander, both who were off. One guy suspended for half the season, and the other guy's off to a bad start. Doesn't mean it'll be a bad contract, but they didn't want to give him 4 years. So, like, to this point, the way they spent their money this offseason looks like it worked great. I mean, unless you think he's just going to fall off the planet.
Look, work great, but there's plenty of criticism among fans, though, that they still did not do enough, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure,
and I think it's a fair criticism so far with what's happening. I think it's very clear that they, if you could go, and look, I understand they tried. Like, they tried, but deep down, if we're being honest with how we evaluate things, that's not how the game works in terms of fans viewing your success or not. You know, if you say, well, we tried to go get, look, if the Chiefs or whatever, if the Chiefs told you, well, we tried to go get a left tackle, but they didn't, it still is a problem. Just because you tried doesn't mean fans should be like, oh, well, shucks, they give it a good try.
It's better than not, like, being aware of the problem,
for
I guess.
Sure, they were clearly still aware of it, but, like, ultimately you have to solve the problem. It's great that you can evaluate it. You got to solve it. Easier said than done, I understand. And yes, they did try, and maybe if the team can get going here, they'll have an opportunity to also fix it via the trade market in the middle of the season. But the only way that happens is if this team gets going, right? Otherwise, they will be sellers, and it won't matter anyway.
That'd be depressing. But
we're a long ways away from that. I really
don't want to talk
that
about who they'd sell.
No,
that would be,
I do
sad
not. That's not a fun conversation. It's not a realistic one, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
On April 21st, thinking of general managers, though, away from baseball, that just doesn't get it. Let me tell you a GM that doesn't get it.
Okay.
How about Dallas Mavericks GM Nico Harrison? We all know he was the GM that traded Luka Doncic.
He's stepping in. He just do something else?
Yes,
stupid?
He's having his postseason press conference right now, live right now. I'm watching clips of it. He admitted during this press conference, I wasn't aware that Luka was important to this extent to the fans. I didn't quite know it to what level. Know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it was to what level. I mean, come on, dude. You're just, I don't know how the Mavericks
touch.
Don't, I don't
so
know how the Mavericks don't fire this dude anyway. You traded away Luka, and now you're like, oh, I didn't know that our biggest superstar on the team was important to our fans. I didn't know they'd be upset.
The biggest star that we've had since Dirk Nowitzki.
If I were the owner, I'd fire him while he stood at that table. Like, get your ass out of here.
Wasn't he asked?
You're done.
I think he was going, I don't know if this is a similar clip. I think I saw a clip as well that somebody asked him why he shouldn't be fired. I think somebody asked him that
question directly. That's a hell of a question.
I mean, it's not wrong.
It had to follow that up.
Look,
you can't openly admit that.
I didn't know how important the superstar player on our team was to the fans. If they're the best player on the team, they mean something to the fans, just automatically. What did you think? There was going to be no blowback from trading away a guy as young as he is who scores 30 points a game?
You see the new allegation stuff, though? Like, basically,
Nico.
Some of this stuff is coming out. ESPN, McMahon had an article about what was happening before. This is from ESPN. A few days after returning to Dallas from a Hall of Fame event when the franchise had endured a frustrating losing season on a high from honoring Dirk Nowitzki, Harrison informed Smith, which is another member of the front office, I believe, that it wasn't possible to meet in person. He had gone to his hometown, Ohio, to be at the side of his gravely ill mother. Harrison set up a video conference meeting instead. Goes on to say Smith was then informed that his services in Dallas were no longer needed, ending a nearly two-decade tenure with the franchise. The reason for the dismissal centered on Smith being too negative, according to sources briefed on the discussion. He went on to say he was 100% threatened by him, a team source told ESPN, referring to Harrison's concern that Smith's voice carried too much weight. He's going to show that I'm in charge and nobody else can question that. So it just sounds like Nico Harrison was on a power trip, got rid of this other guy with the franchise, and then he also traded away Luka Doncic.
He's unraveling. Just fire him. I mean, he's doing destructive things at this point to your organization. Just let him go. This isn't even like
the only way it could
that
be,
crazy.
The only way it could be salvageable is they have a 1.8% chance to get the number one overall pick, and it wouldn't even be
I don't
Nico,
want him doing it.
No, it wouldn't even be Nico Harrison's doing. But if they get Cooper Flagg, that might be the only thing, along with Kyrie getting healthy, because Kyrie hasn't been healthy for the last month and a half.
If you get the number one overall pick, any GM can take Cooper Flagg. Drew?
Well, you would think.
I'd be a pretty bad GM in the NBA. I can take Cooper Flagg if you give me the number one overall pick.
That's what
pick.
I'm saying. He wouldn't deserve credit
successfully.
For it.
No.
He needs something else. He needs luck to break his way like it never has.
Man, that's
for it to be a salvageable situation.
That is, honestly, sometimes it's not even this. It's how do you let that come out of your mouth? You know?
You can't say it publicly.
How? Yeah.
Even if you feel that way, you can't say it publicly.
How do you say out loud, hey, I didn't realize Luka was all that important to this team.
His answer to the question, Drew, you said he was asked why he shouldn't be fired by a member of the media. The quote he gave back, and this one's like, what is he supposed to say, right?
Sure.
But he said, I think I've done a really good job here. But also, like, what is he supposed to say, you know? But that was the first thing he said to respond to that.
I don't think that was a good... You had to...
Unfortunately, I'm super stubborn, so someone telling me to do something doesn't work too well for
That's
me.
That's another weird thing to admit.
This guy.
He's just going to throw up his hands and say, you know, sometimes I step on my own foot.
A disaster this press conference was. And I haven't seen her quotes. I haven't obviously watched the whole thing. Is that? Nervous. You know, he's out here.
Oh, dude. I mean, you imagine how
avoiding
threatened you feel
answers.
Right now?
He knows he's about to get fired.
This was like a bear's about to attack you, and you're just like trying anything not to die.
It's not like Cuban's the GM anymore. It's not like Cuban's in charge.
Oh, well, no. The trade would never have happened with Mark Cuban in charge, let's be real.
And I'll also be honest, I don't know if like Harrison would have been fired. Even if it was made, Cuban would have been fired and by now.
Yes. Everyone should fire him. They shouldn't let him leave the facility today. Like, change his key card. He can't talk like... Look, it's bad enough to make the trade. That's pretty much a fireable offense, in my opinion, anyway.
It was a really bad decision, yeah.
But you can't also sound like a doofus after doing the doofus thing, right? You got to sound like you got a plan, and you knew what you thought of every conceivable thing before you traded Luka. Not, oopsie, I forgot the fans like him. You have to know that. You have to know the blowback that's coming when you trade him. You have to be aware. You have to at least pretend to be aware of those.
It sounds like he was only thinking of what Nico Harrison wanted in that situation and didn't think about anybody else in that, because there's no way, I don't know how long he's been the GM for, but there's no way that he didn't understand how important Luka was after they made the finals last year based on, he actually made some good moves to help them.
It's so crazy.
He made some good moves that helped them get to the finals, getting Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, and then he just ruined it all.
Finals, then one and done play around.
Was he the person who took the beer from Luka?
I don't think it was him.
Somebody else.
It was somebody else.
Okay. But that feels like it was an edict from on high, like from him.
Yeah.
He had something to get Luka's work ethic.
I think it was Michael Finley, actually, who is a Mavs legend.
That was an all-time moment. Dude, he just walks past him, snags his beer, and Luka looks at his hand. He's like, okay, damn.
And again, let's say he does have some sort of a concerning problem regarding eating or whatever,
in shape,
The case is. When you see him drop 40 points, it doesn't matter. And I understand that they couldn't get him back into the shape that he was when they drafted him. But if he's still doing what he was doing in that physical condition, there's no way that you still make the decision to trade him. I did see, I think it was Windhorse maybe, that they're thinking that in the next 3 to 5 years, he's going to either, he's going to mess himself up so badly, or it's going to get bad enough where he can't physically play every night because of his physical condition. Like, he can't. Well,
Anthony Davis can't do that now. So it's not like exactly
that,
like, they traded for some sure thing physically.
Street clothes. Yeah, that's a good point.
I will say, I think you're probably more likely to get Luka to switch up his lifestyle, et cetera, now. Like, I think the rest of his career, the benefit if you're the Lakers, you have a player that's, you know, trying to prove the Dallas Mavericks wrong every single day of the rest of his playing career. And I think that's powerful. And mm-hmm. so if there was ever a way to convince a player to change his
LeBron,
lifestyle and eating and all that,
I
think there's a chance he'll actually buy into it now, because he's going to try to give a middle finger to Nico Harris and the rest of his career, the rest of his life.
You would think so.
I mean, maybe I'm off on that, but like, I don't know. Yes. And someone said the Lakers lost to the T-Wolves. Yeah. Game one, they look terrible. Game one, they
in
did.
Fairness,
now, Luka looked great, but
that is
no defense.
The
Lakers do not regret that trade.
We saw the cost and effect of not having Anthony Davis, but also...
Also, the same the Lakers lost. The Mavs lost in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, the Mavs...
Now, Kyrie's hurt.
I think part of that is Kyrie, but they weren't even there to begin with anyways in the top eight. I think J.J. Redick's doing a great job.
There you go. Nico Harrison, thank you for that quote.
Jeez.
Appreciate that.
It, yeah.
We're back at it tomorrow, 10 to 2 right here on Cody and Gold. Up next, C-Dot and Rob on the Drive.